Perhaps some of you have been in a situation like David, where you were literally praying for your life. David, in this psalm, Psalm 27, was praying for his life. We are not sure of the exact historical situation. It may well have been when David was on the run being pursued by King Saul. Pursued by his enemies then, shut out from the house of God, separated from his family, slandered by false witnesses. All that seems to fit what David says in this psalm. But whatever the situation, it was clearly a time of extreme crisis and difficulty. David found himself praying for his life. So where do we go when life hits us with a crisis? Where do we turn when the going gets tough? Do we turn to God? And how do we pray in those situations? How do we pray in a crisis? In a crisis, are our prayers more like cries of panic? Or there are they prayers of faith and trust, like this prayer of David in this psalm? So we're reading tonight a psalm of David in a time of crisis, and yet it's a psalm of trust and confidence, and we can learn much from it. Learn about prayer, particularly when there are difficulties, as David teaches us about praying for God's help in the midst of a crisis. So let's look first of all tonight at praying in times of crisis in verses 1 to 3. Praying in times of crisis. And there are three things here about praying in times of crisis. David says, remember that the Lord is your strength. The Lord is my light and my salvation, David begins. Now you notice David stresses his personal relationship with God. My light, my salvation. Is the Lord your light, your salvation tonight? Do you know the Lord in this personal way? Light dispels the darkness. In the Bible, light is a picture for us of life, God's blessing, God's favor. And the word salvation here is talking about God's power to save. The Lord is my light and my salvation, says David. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Is the Lord tonight the strength of your life? Does the Lord support you, uphold you, sustain you, even when there are struggles? Who do you look for strength? David's first challenge to us, praying in times of crisis, is that God was very personal to him, and David looked to the Lord as his light and salvation. And he's saying to you and me, in the times of crisis, remember, you are not strong in yourself. The Lord is your strength. But then also realize that your enemies stumble and fall, says David. David had this future perspective. When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Now, David describes enemies there in very graphic terms. They advanced against him. David pictures them ready to eat up his flesh, he says, like wild animals. But David says they stumbled and fell. The enemy did not just stumble and keep going, the enemy stumbled and fell, says David. And whether it's in this world or certainly in the world to come, the Lord Jesus Christ speaks to us of that victory that we have in him, where we overcome enemies through the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. And we are not surprised that the world shows hostility towards believers. Jesus said, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. And that goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden, when God said there would be enmity, conflict, hatred between the seed of the woman, the believing world, and the seed of the woman, and the seed of the serpent. The unbelieving world, the seed of the serpent, has always had conflict, enmity towards the seed of the woman. So when godly people are opposed by the ungodly, it may actually be you are doing something right. If godly people take a stand against you, John Wesley prayed, Lord, if I must contend, let it not be with your people. No, let's not have contention amongst God's people. But there will be times when this world will come against the Christian because what you believe and what you stand for is going, particularly in our Western culture at the moment, in the opposite direction sometimes to the way in which the godly walk. So remember that the Lord is your strength. Realize your enemies will stumble and fall. And know that God is bigger than any problem you face. David says, no matter how big the problem, no matter how large the strength, no matter how strong the enemy seems to be, though an army may come against me, may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. Sometimes we foolishly think we can handle small problems. Sometimes we foolishly think we can handle even fairly big problems. But we all know there are times when there are problems that are far bigger than we can handle. So whether the problem is small or not so big or huge, David says the answer is not to try to deal with the problem in your own strength, but that God is your strength. Because no matter how big the problem, God is bigger. God is bigger than our problems. Now, that doesn't mean that everything will always turn out the way we want it to turn out. In his perfect wisdom, God sometimes has plans and ways for us that are different from the ways we would choose. I was talking to someone lunchtime, we had a church lunch together, about how God answers prayer. And we had to remind each other, sometimes God says yes, sometimes God says no. And sometimes God says wait. So there are times, yes, when Christians suffer and grieve. And Christians are not immune from sorrow and sickness. And Christians lose loved ones. They're imprisoned. Sometimes their dreams are dashed. But David is saying, God is bigger than your problems and will be with you. Now, probably tonight, most of us are not actually at this present moment facing a life or death situation. Most of us are not literally praying for our lives tonight. Let's remember, millions of Christians around the world are praying for their lives. Christian persecution is increasing around the globe. In Sudan, in Saudi Arabia, in Pakistan, in Cuba, in North Korea, in Iran, in India, in Myanmar. There is a list that grows and grows and goes on and on. And there are tonight believers in those countries who are threatened, intimidated, imprisoned, tortured, raped, killed, and all because of their faith. And yet they continue to trust God. What does David say here? Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. We are to remember, God is bigger than any problem we may face. So David says, praying in times of crisis, remember the Lord is your strength. Realize that your enemies will stumble and fall. Know that God is bigger than the problem. And then secondly, David goes on to say, pray for daily strength. One of the challenges of prayer, we're all challenged about the issue of prayer, aren't we? Is to pray each day, not to rely on yesterday or the day before. Why was David able to pray with such confidence, even when it seemed his enemies would overwhelm him? Well, verses 4 to 10 remind us daily prayer. David comes to God praying for daily strength in his life. One thing I've desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. David came to God daily with this singleness of desire. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek. Now, how would we answer and finish that sentence? If we could ask God for one thing tonight, what would it be? God says, what do you want? Pick one thing. One thing I've desired of the Lord, that will I seek, says David, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Here was the one thing David wanted above everything. This was non-negotiable for him. I believe David was speaking from experience here. David was not speaking about something that he heard from someone else or that he had read about. This was something that came from his heart. David had tasted and seen that the Lord is good. And now he has a hunger for God, and nothing else will do, because anything else would be a poor substitute. David desired to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of his life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Now, when David talks here about dwelling in the house of the Lord, he's not talking about literally living, for example, in a church building. Sometimes little children, sometimes on a Friday night, they've asked me, do you live in this church? Because whenever they come here, I'm here. So they say, do you live here? I say, well, I live nearby, but I don't actually live here. But David is not talking about living in a church building. He's talking about living in God's presence. He's talking about knowing God's presence in his life every day. He's talking about praying every day and the desire to be in God's presence then. Though it's not separate from meeting with God's people. Those who love God's presence love gathering with God's people. After the Lord Jesus Christ's ascension, we read the disciples met continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Luke 24, verse 53. But let's remember, David was probably on the run when he wrote this psalm. He longed to be back in Jerusalem to worship God with God's people. If you love God's presence, you will love to meet with God's people. God inhabits the praises of his people, the Bible tells us. But David longed to dwell in the house of the Lord. These two reasons, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire of the Lord in his temple. Now, when we talk about the beauty of the Lord, we're not talking about physical beauty. God is spirit. But outward form is not necessary for beauty. Music can be beautiful. In the street here, we've been having music from a festival that's occurring over in the rugby ground, not too far away. It's not exactly beautiful music to my ears, but there is some music which is beautiful. The beauty of music comes through the orderly arrangement of musical tones, but it doesn't have a physical form, but it can be beautiful. And when we speak of God's beauty, we're speaking about God's character, his love, his holiness, his power, his faithfulness, his justice, his mercy. We're talking about God who is omnipresent, present everywhere. God who is omnipotent, all-powerful. God who is omniscient, who knows everything. There's something about the perfect, harmonious character and the attributes of God that is beautiful. It thrills our being. David's saying he delighted in God. Do you delight in God? If you search out God through his word, you'll find an ever-increasing beauty. Like a sunrise on a clear morning, the beauty of the Lord. That's why David calls the Lord his light and his salvation. Because he spent time gazing at the beautiful character, the attributes of God. We find God in his word, in prayer, in worship, in the fellowship of God's people. And as we come to God, we gaze upon his beauty. So gaze intently, David is saying. Enjoy fellowship with God's people, but always remember this vertical dimension. To gaze upon God. Above that, above everything else, David is saying, he wants to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire of God in his temple, to seek God's will and guidance, to know God and to know more of God, to grow in grace. Jeremiah 9 verse 24 puts it like this: let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, says the Lord. Are you glorying in that tonight? That you understand and know God. So David is seeking God daily in this way. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me safe in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. David trusted that God would be with him in the time of trouble. We never know when the day of trouble is coming. That's why the book of James warns us against boasting about tomorrow. We do not know what a day will bring. But that new day does not catch God by surprise. We can trust God in the day of trouble. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. David is planning a celebration, you notice, for answered prayer, although he's looking in anticipation as to how God will answer his prayer. David is praying in faith. There was a Christian minister in China by the name of Wang Ming Dao. From 1957 to 1979, he spent 22 years in prison. His faith inspired millions of Christians in China, although earlier in his life he had buckled under pressure from the state. But then, as he knew God's grace at work in his life, and as he stood firm for Jesus Christ those 22 years, after his release, a visiting minister asked him, "I will probably never be put in prison like you. So how can your faith have any impact on me?" And we may think that tonight. It's unlikely any of us will spend 22 years in jail because of our Christian faith. But Wang replied, "When I was put in jail, I was devastated. I was an evangelist. I wanted to hold meetings all over China. I was an author. I wanted to write books. I was a preacher. I wanted to study the Bible and write sermons. But I had no Bible, no pulpit, no congregation, no pen, no paper. I could do nothing. Nothing except get to know God." For 22 years, that was the greatest relationship I have ever known. And then he goes on with a challenge. Revival can only come to those who make room for God, who get to know God in their lives. To gaze upon God through his word, gaze upon his beauty, to inquire of him. It's what we're made for. It's what our heart ultimately desires. To come to God then with this singleness of desire, to seek God's face, as we sang earlier. Within the veil we seek your face. Or let your glory fill the place as we wait upon you. Come to God with singleness of desire and then apply your heart to seeking God's face. "Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me," says David. David has this concern that the Lord would hear him. That the Lord would hear him. Others may hear his prayer, but he wants the Lord to hear. And David's assurance that God would answer was based on God's mercy. How did he know God's mercy? Well, he had spent time gazing upon God's beauty. And the more we get to know God, so that changes our prayers. The more you get to know him, the more you love him. The more you love him, the more you want to get to know him. And there is that cycle, that virtuous cycle that becomes a rhythm of the Christian life. Beholding God's beauty, knowing God, loving God, wanting to know God more. But you notice also here David's humility. He comes to God and he acknowledges he needs mercy. We come humbly to God. We come seeking God's mercy. Prayer is many things. It is communication. It is relationship. It is request. But central to prayer is also this concept of dependence. Prayer is dependence. We are dependent upon God. That's why we have a prayer meeting every week. We acknowledge as a congregation, we are dependent upon God. Without God, we can do nothing. We are totally dependent on God. So we admit that. And for some people, pride keeps them away and keeps them far from God. But David calls upon God's mercy and he acknowledges his dependence upon God. And it's interesting that David speaks of God hearing his voice. It seems as if when David prayed, even when he was alone and in private, David prayed aloud. Now, praying out loud is not necessary in private prayer, but it is often helpful. To pray aloud can keep you on track. It can guard you against distractions. It can help you to express emotions. I would encourage you, if you come to the prayer meeting, or if you're online joining us online in the prayer meeting, it's good to pray together, but it would be encouraging for me and for others in the meeting to have more people pray aloud. Now, it takes a bit of courage to break in that way and to begin to pray out loud. But it seems here that that's something that David challenges us about. And he goes on to say, when you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. He acknowledges God's mercy. He calls on God for help and he prays. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Some people are rejected by their parents. But David says that even if his father and mother rejected him, the Lord would take care of him. In the context here, the words can almost mean that the Lord would adopt him. Though my mother and father forsake me, the Lord will adopt me. When those who are closest to you turn away, who will you turn to? God will take you in, says David. The Lord will take care of me. There's a fascinating incident in the life of a preacher called Evan Roberts. He was greatly used by God in the Welsh Revival, 1904-1905. Early one morning, he was staying with a family in a little village called Newcastle Emlyn. And there was a knock on the door early in the morning. And there was a young man at the door, a teenager. He looked rather disheveled and upset. And he said he had to see Evan Roberts straight away. So the lady whose house it was went up to Evan Roberts, told him about this young man who'd come calling. But Evan Roberts had an answer that he couldn't see him at that time. Oh, Evan, can't you give him just some word, some message for him? He seemed very anxious, very desperate, very upset. Yes, said Evan Roberts, I can do that. Tell him to read Psalm 27, verse 10. Now, Evan Roberts had not even met with this young man. But he sent the message, read Psalm 27, verse 10. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. So the young man picked up a Bible in the house and he read that verse. And he was amazed. The young man was from Lampeter, which is a town about 30 miles from Newcastle Emlyn. The previous night he'd been in a meeting in his home church and he'd come under great conviction through the work of the Holy Spirit. And he had been gloriously converted. He'd become a Christian. And in great joy, he had gone home to tell his parents. He'd been converted. He'd become a Christian. But he'd been met not by his parents with joy, but with fury. They would have nothing to do with it. And they gave him this ultimatum. Either he must give up the idea of being a Christian or leave. Leave home. And they had literally thrown him out of the house late at night. He had walked 30 miles through the night from Lampeter to Newcastle Emlyn. And somehow God revealed that issue to Evan Roberts. And it moved him to send that word of reassurance and hope to this young man in the situation he faced. Read Psalm 27, verse 10. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. And the young man believed, he had that assurance, that though his earthly parents had forsaken him, they'd thrown him out, that the Lord would take care of him. David here is praying for his life. He's praying in a time of crisis. Praying in times of crisis means remembering that the Lord is your strength. Realize your enemies will stumble and fall. Know that God is bigger than any problem you face. And then praying for daily strength means come to God with singleness of desire. Apply your heart to seeking God's face. And then thirdly and finally, persevering in prayer. Praying each day through your life. David is committed to praying each day. Perseverance and patience in prayer. Commit yourself to going God's way. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me over to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. How often we pray, Lord, give me what I want. David prays, teach me your way, O Lord. Lord, I don't know the right way to go. Lord, you set the path for my life. Lord, you show me your way. Lord, you teach me, you guide me, you mold me. You, Lord, show me the way I should go to use me in your kingdom. David asks for a smooth path, a path under God's protection. When we leave God's path, we open ourselves up to danger. You see how David speaks of his oppressors here in verse 11. That I may not fear my adversaries. Peter writes, 1 Peter 2 verse 12. Have your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of vindication. David prays, Lord, keep me in your smooth path. Don't turn me over to my enemies. Help me to persevere. David commits himself to going God's way. And then wait to see the goodness of the Lord. That's finally, if we're going to persevere in prayer, we must wait on the goodness of God. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So David concludes, wait on the Lord. And that's just not passive. That's not just sitting back, put your feet up, do nothing. Waiting on the Lord means trust. It's active. It's faith. Be of good courage and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. David was confident that the Lord would hear him and redeem him. He's talking about this long-term approach of persevering in prayer every day of his life. Now, you may notice, if you have a church Bible, you can see it, that in verse 13, there are words there which are in italics. In other words, they're not in the original, but they've been put in to make sense of the verse for us. Verse 13, it says, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. But the first few words in verse 13, I would have lost heart, have been put in by the translators because it's almost as if David is saying, if I didn't have God in my life, If the Lord was not my helper, if the Lord was not my life and salvation, I don't know how I'd ever get through life. David, as it were, shudders at the thought. If I didn't have God, he's saying, if I didn't trust the Lord, if I didn't believe in the Lord, it's almost like he can't complete the sentence. David is encouraging himself. He's saying, I must have God in my life. I must pray each day because I must wait on the Lord. I must be of good courage. The Lord will strengthen my heart. Wait on the Lord, for he is kind and good and merciful. So is the Lord your light and your salvation? Is he the strength of your life? Go to God every day. This is a great challenge to us, to commit to persevering prayer each day. David says to you and to me, wait on the Lord. And as you wait on the Lord, David says, this is what happens. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for the challenge and the encouragement we get from this psalm as we come to the Lord, who is our light and salvation, that we might, with David, persevere in prayer before God, wait on the Lord each day, and know him strengthening the heart. We thank you, Lord, that though there are many adversaries, we know the seductive voices of this world. We know that the devil is an enemy who tempts and seeks to devour. And we know that we have the weakness in our own sinful flesh. But we thank you that in Jesus Christ we have one who is stronger and who has overcome all our enemies by his life, death, and resurrection. And by his Holy Spirit, he draws near to us tonight through his word. And as we commit ourselves then, as David did long ago, to persevere each day in prayer, we ask, Lord, that as we wait upon you, you will strengthen every heart, and that each one of us may know your strength and your salvation, the Lord as our light, the one who will give us a smooth path. And we thank you, Lord, that though in this world you have told us, yes, in the world we will have tribulation, we are not to fear. We wait on the Lord who has overcome the world. And so we give you praise. And we ask now, Lord, that you will hear us as we come to you through Jesus Christ alone. In Christ alone our hope is found. He is our light and our strength and our song. So hear us as we come in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing as a closing hymn together, hymn number 647. 647. Yes, 647. In Christ alone my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. And we'll stand to sing 647.
Ground, fed through the fiercest ground.
Let's pray together. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and remain with each one of you and with all God's people, tonight and even forevermore. Amen.